come to this place this morning and say, man, I'm here and I'm here on purpose. Man, I'm ready for God to speak to me. I'm ready that God by His Spirit will put a message in my heart that I will not forget. Again, when we have started this series, Do Life Together, we are talking about the second most important decision of your life that will impact your every hour. It will impact your every single day. Besides the decision for Jesus Christ, which is an eternal forever decision, then there is who you will spend the rest of your days with. Will those days be full of love, joy, and peace? Will you follow the manual on marriage and what God said? He is the one who created it and put it together in such a way for a man and a woman to spend days together in such a way that there is harmony and there is peace and there is love and there is joy. And man, that's the way God set it up. It's incredible. The second most important decision you will ever make will be who you marry. That affects everything. It affects everything. And if you're in a marriage and you're like, man, I'm asking God to do something in my home, and please don't miss this morning. I'm asking you, don't miss a message. So I believe at the end of 2 months, your home will not be the same. If you not obey Sean Overfield, please don't listen to me, because I don't have all that much to offer, except I've got 21 years of an amazing experience with an amazing woman called Renee, who is the most amazing woman who's ever walked this planet. And 21 years of that, we've learned a lot. But God set it up for you and I. Don't miss a message in this, please. If you are single, I am going to be speaking on you being single with a purpose. And your short season in that. That's coming in a few weeks. You only have a short season in being single. And God gives some pretty cool instructions in that. But let's ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, I thank you for being outdoors. I thank you for just looking around and seeing your amazing creation, God. Father, I thank you that your word is alive and it is powerful. God, your word is truth. You've given us everything we didn't know in your word. God, you are amazing and we honor you. And God, I hope, and God, I'm asking, and I'm so hopeful that God, you were pleased in our time of worship of you this morning. And our sacrifice of praise to you, you are God of all. And God, we've come together this morning to honor you and to glorify you and to thank you and to stand in awe of you as God. I hope that was pleasing to you. Now, God, your word rings true. Father, I ask that we would come before you this morning with an eye to see and an ear to hear. We come before you, Father, and dismiss all distractions. And God, we just open our heart to you this morning. And Father, by your Spirit, you would move in such a way that you would speak directly into our hearts today. And folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, my ears are open. I'm here on purpose. I'm ready to hear. God, I can see exactly what you called me to see this morning, Father. And God, that you would speak to me. God, I'll respond to what you say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Come on, if you have your word, we're going to two places this morning. Mark 10, Luke 9. Mark 10 and Luke 9. Please put a marker right in Luke 9, and we'll get there in a minute. We're going to start right in Mark 10. We're a word church, man. We believe the word of God is our guide. And man, I hope that you bring it with you. Get on your little instruments and look it up online if you need to. It's perfect. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it is. When you come to a place, and when you're in marriage, you will begin to recognize this. If you haven't recognized this in marriage, your marriage probably needs a lot of love. And if you have not yet been married, but you know you're going towards those steps, maybe you found the right male or female, and in the cold, you guys have kind of snuggled up together. That's a perfect time to get close. When we were in worship and it was nice and cold, and you snuggled, like, that's awesome. And then you've come to this place to recognize, man, I will spend the rest of my days with this person. You need to hear this. You need to recognize this before you go into marriage. And if you are still single and you're waiting for that open door one day for that male or that female to come into your world, you need to know this up front. That when you get into a relationship, please hear this, don't miss this. When you get into a relationship, everything changes. When you come to that place and say, I will marry you, I will spend the rest of my life with you. We talked about that commitment last week. We talked about that covenant and the promise and living out our vows. We talked about that last week. But you have to recognize, I am going to make this decision. And in this decision, everything changes. There's no way that you can remain the same when you recognize what we're going to cover today, or two become one. Everything changes. And if you walk into marriage and think, well, everything, I'm just going to be the same I am, and I don't have to do anything different. Man, your marriage probably needs a serious a lot of work. And if you are engaged, you go into a place and say, well, I could just be who I am, and I just need to, nothing's ever going to change for me. You bought into something that's just not true. Because what we're going to see this morning is the way God set it up, two become one. Man, one plus one equals one in regards to what God says about a male and a female coming under one roof. Now look at this. Mark 10 says this. I want you to see this. Verse 6. But from the beginning, we touched on this last week. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be, and the man, he shall leave his father and mother. And for the reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Man, hear this, please. This is Jesus speaking. He says, God set it up from the very beginning for a man and a wife to come together, be bound, be joined together, so that you're taking this one and this one in such a way that they're no longer two, but they become one. I mean, when you go to a marriage, a ceremony, you know, you go to the wedding and you see the two candle idea, right? They light the one candle, his candle, her candle, light it in the middle, and then there's one beautiful flame. How amazing, all together. Or you see a sand ceremony where you got his sand, her sand, they mix it all together, and it's just awesome. I brought a new idea today. You've got him being blue and her being yellow, right? All right, this is like epoxy. This stuff is just awesome, cool. And if you were to understand what this really means, that two become one. And this is incredible, because you have to recognize that everything changes when they're mixed. This one here together alone doesn't do anything. This one here together alone doesn't do anything. But when they come together, they are better together. And they form a bond that cannot be broken. It is like peanut butter and jelly. Right? It is like whoever came up with the Reese's cup, chocolate peanut butter, brilliant, absolute genius, multi-billion-dollar idea, when they recognize these two are good on their own, but together, oh, they're better. And then you talk about grilled cheese and jelly on top, folks. I'm telling you, all right, I'm giving you a challenge. You try that. You make grilled cheese. And this is an Obergefell deal. You put grilled cheese and you put jelly on top of your grilled cheese. It is better together. I'm telling you, just try it. It is incredible. And that's the deal. That's how we eat our grilled cheese. It's amazing. It's awesome. But look at this. You got this, man. You got the blue and you got the white. And then you're supposed to, this thing will never work again. But you're supposed to mix them together in such a way that you had blue and yellow. And now you're making white. And I tell you what, I tried this, man. I tested this week. And when you understand what it is when two come together and they are bound together and they are joined together, and this word here, it means to cleave. You had him and you had her, and then you have this whole amazing deal that is neither white nor yellow, and it's this mix of the both. And I tell you what, this forms such an incredible, incredible binding agreement together that you cannot. I put a plate on top of this earlier, and you can't get them apart without shredding them. So you look at this, and you have to come to a place to understand that two become one. And in that, and in understanding that there's no longer a me, but it is a we, it's no longer about her, it's no longer about me, it's about us. And when you recognize what it is to come together as us, that us needs to be protected. And that us needs to be guarded. You've got to come to an understanding that when we look at this thing, this amazing thing that God has showed up as marriage, that God has stated as two, now become one. There's no longer two, but there is one. And the power in that, and the authority in that, and the understanding of that, when you recognize we are better together than we are apart. We're more powerful together. We work in our unity together. When we are divided, there are serious issues. The Bible says a house divided falls. When you come to understand that you get this, there is no longer my house, our house. There's no longer my car, our car. There's no longer my money, Please hear this. What is it when we come to a place of agreement and we come to a place of being unified? What is it when you understand that when you are in agreement and you're walking in harmony, there's peace and harmony and agreement. And you've got to come to a place to recognize my bank account, her bank account is issues. You can look at your money and say, well, that's his money and this is my money and we do our separate things with the money. Gang, I'm telling you, that may work, but I'm telling you, when you come to a place of understanding unity, it isn't mine and hers. It's two become one. There's no longer two. And you walk in a place of such unity and you walk in a place of such harmony of everything. Why is it that probably this first or second reason a divorce is finances? It's crazy. You have an understanding that it's not my money, it's not her money, it's our money. It's not my body, it's her body. My body belongs to her. I mean, Renee tells me all the time, Sean, your body belongs to me. I'm like, hey, you can take it anytime you want, right? I mean, I'm just... just saying, you know. In 1 Corinthians 7, it's clear. Her body is not her own. Okay, when you begin to get the picture of this, you begin to understand my time is not my own. Everything changes. When a husband or a wife, when they get married, the man can't keep doing everything he did when he was single. You can't go out with the boys all the time. Every night doesn't belong to the boys. It belongs to your wife. Listen, when we first got married, I was playing softball 7 days a week. Monday, Thursday was fast pitch. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday was slow pitch. Weekends was a travel team for travel softball. It was amazing. And then Renee says, that's done. I was good before you came. This is mad. We're winning. You're not married to them. Your time is my time, Sean. Okay, when you understand everything changes. Your time no longer belongs just to you. Please understand this. Everything and the influences that are out there and the people that you meet have impact on us. You go to a place and you go to work and there are these horrible influences and you being married begin to get sucked into these bad influences. Guess who that impacts? It impacts us. Time is about us. It's our time. It's not just my time. It is our time. It's not just Renee's time. It's our time. And you've got to begin to understand everything changes. Influences begin to change because a bad influence begins to impact us. And when you begin to recognize the reality of what it is when two become one, you begin to recognize the people who I spend time with makes a difference between Renee and I, whether Renee is there or not. If they begin to have an influence on me, that begins to have an influence on us. That's when you get this, when you understand what God says, there's no longer two, but there is one, and you understand there is power in that unity, and there is authority in that unity, and you begin to understand anything on the outside will have an impact on us. Who you become friends with, the time where you spend, the different things that you get involved in has impact on us. You might rearrange some things and you may begin to rethink some people that you might want to hang out with. You may rethink the discussions in the workplace. You may rethink what we're doing here and what we're doing there because this will eventually impact us. And again, this is the deal. When you recognize it's not two, but it's one. And that one, that unity, that needs to be guarded. And that needs to be protected in a way that I will not allow this to affect us. And I will not allow this to infect us. And I will not be hanging out with this. And I will not be going there or not be doing this, even though we have been lost in a lie that says, well, you can do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do, and we'll be okay. No, you don't understand two become one. You don't understand, and you recognize what it is that everything impacts us because we are one. If it influences me, it will influence Renee. Now think about how good that is. You have come impacted, and you come to a place to recognize right, and you recognize Christ, and you come to a place to have light Our hope is that it infiltrates the us. If you're married to one who doesn't know Jesus, to come to a place to understand that, man, when we were married, we didn't know Jesus, and then God just, man, he, my eyes have been opened, and I am praying for my wife to come to Christ. I'm praying for my husband to come to Christ. Folks, we see this all the time. We're begging God, that we, and we have seen it, though. The amazing thing is God has answered our cry, that we are seeing husbands and wives who were once separate, but and one was saved, the one was not. We're seeing God do a work because of the influence of the one. Not nagging, not badgering, not pushing, but allowing and trusting. God, please, move in her heart. God, please, move in his life. That, God, I would be the light that I need to be in my home. God, I understand that we are one. I get it, God. I understand that. And in that, God, let the light that is in me, God, impart and impact the one that I am one with, Father. God, when you understand this, there's power in that. When you get that, man, when I'm infected, my mate is infected. That is two becoming one. It's amazing. It's amazing. Gang, I want a verse up. It's 1 Peter 3. And if you understand this, if you were married and you understand this, or you seriously want an amazing marriage, this is one verse. One verse that strictly deals with a wife and with a husband. Could you imagine this? 1 Peter 3:8 says this, to sum up. And if you read 1 Peter 3, it talks about wives and it talks about husbands. There's a chapter on husbands and wives. And it says, to sum up, the husband and the wife, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Could you imagine having a home? Could you imagine having a marriage and a relationship that was covered by this one verse? God, between me and my wife, between me and my husband, God, that we would walk in a place of harmony. This word harmony, it means that we would agree together in heart and mind. That God, our hearts and our mind would walk in agreement together. Could you imagine that harmony, that peace in a home? When you recognize what it is to walk in this verse, what verse? Could you imagine if your marriage was patterned after one verse? Me as a husband, me as a wife, God, that we'd walk in this place, that we would walk in agreement together in heart and in mind. Gang, I rarely, since I've really understood this, I can say I do not make decisions in my home unless Renee and I come to a place to agree. Some will say, well, Sean, you're the head, and you've got to be firm, and you've got to make the decisions. And, well, I could say, well, God gave her to me as my helpmate. God said that she is a prudent wife, is from the Lord. And God said that word prudent means that she has good discernment and she has good judgment. And man, I'm going to include her because I want to walk in a place of unity and peace in our home. And she sees things so much quicker at times than I see things. And she sees things from God at times quicker than I see from God. And she can tell things of danger that's ahead. And man, a man who comes to a place to think, well, I'm just going to make the decision she's going to follow, man, you will stumble. But you don't realize the amazing gift that God has given you in a wife that is your helper. Let her help you. That is one who comes to a place of good judgment and strong discernment to see things that maybe you don't see. I want to walk into a place in our home of agreement. And in that, the Bible says there's harmony in that. Now look at this, one verse. All of you be harmonious, be sympathetic. This word sympathetic, it has a sense of compassion. It means that you are to share the feelings of another. I will feel what you feel. Could you imagine the oneness in this? Could you imagine the package deal when you become so close and you recognize that unity and you recognize that harmony and you recognize that we're doing life together and you recognize you're up, I'm up, you're down, I'm down. When you're down, I'm up so I can pick you up. And you recognize how this pattern works in this one verse, that there will be such a compassion between us that I will feel what you feel. I will share your feelings. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're up, I'm up. What an amazing sense. If Your home was full of such unity and harmony. And in your relationship of being one, you recognize what it is to walk in such a sympathetic way that there is such compassion and there is such an understanding of sharing the feelings of your husband or your wife. And it says to be brotherly. The word brotherly here means to be a friend. A deep, loving friendship. It's another word for love. It means brotherly. It means to walk in that place of such a deep, loving relationship that you are of the deepest friends. Again, one verse dealing with husbands and wife. Wouldn't it be amazing if we walked in a place of harmony, sharing the feelings of one another, walking in a place of such a deep friendship? Then look at this. It says to be kind-hearted, to understand what it is to walk in a way of being tender and sincerely, authentically caring for the other. That you walk in a place that there is this deep sense of being kind, this deep sense of walking in a place that you are tender towards one. The opposite of this is that you're callous and that you're hard and you're not caring. How many homes today are filled with that? One isn't tender towards the other, but there's this hardness and there's this callous towards the other. This one verse says that we are to be tender and we are to be kind-hearted and we're walking a place to be very caring for the other. Two, become one. Everything changes. And then this is the biggest piece for me. That you're to be humble in spirit. And simply put, humble means me second. His needs and his desires are first. Her needs and her desires are first. This is probably the biggest picture in marriage. If you can understand Renee before me, Sean before Renee, if you can understand this in such a way that your house, to sum it up, he says, listen, to bring everything together, don't miss this. This is what Peter's saying, don't miss this, man. To sum it up, to put it all together. All of you would be come to a place to agree together with your heart and your mind, that you would come to a place to be so close to compassion that you truly would share and feel what the other feels. And you come to this place in your home, husband and wife, to be of the best, closest friends. That you come to this place, husband and wife, to walk in that place of being tender, to walk in that place of having such a care for one another. And then you come to this place and this relationship between husband and wife. Listen, don't miss this. Sum it all up, he says. That you walk humble in spirit and you put yourself second to your spouse. Please don't misunderstand what humble means. There are many who come to this place of this word humble and they say, well, humble means that I'm just this loser and I'm just this low-case person and I'm not that important. Have you ever met somebody who and then they pipe up and say, well, I'm humble. Huh. You understand, I read this definition years ago and it has changed when I look at humility. Being humble does not make you think less of yourself, but it makes you think of yourself less. Please don't miss that. If you're truly walking in humility, you're not thinking this is, you're just the lowest of the low and I'm no good and I'm useless and I'm this low life. Oh, but I'm so humble. No, you're not. True humility is that you are not thinking less of yourself, but you are coming to a place to really put another before you. You are thinking of yourself less. It's amazing when I hear people brag about how low they are and how unimportant they are. They're always talking about them. That's kind of funny. Reality is when you come to a place of marriage and you look at we are better together and we understand what it is to become one and we understand that this one verse, 1 Peter 3:8, if we walk in this one verse, could you imagine having this relationship? How amazing. How amazing it would be to walk in this one relationship. Wow. Come on. You understand that when you enter into this covenant marriage and this relationship with a husband and a wife, they need to know everything changes. And everything impacts one another. Everything. you are not your own. And you've got to come to this place to recognize that the us, has to be protected. The enemy will try to get in between us. And the enemy will try to get in there and disturb us. And when you recognize my guard is up, and I will see what I need to see, and I will hear what I need to hear, and one of the most important things that I do is to cover Renee and I and my home, to know that the us is guarded. And the us is protected. Because I know influence will come. I know people will come. I know the enemy will try to come. I know that interests will try to come. And I know that it would be easy to go this direction and that direction that isn't an us direction. And you've got to have your guard up to recognize the us has to be protected. Has to be guarded. And you start by recognizing the us. There isn't a me and there isn't a her. There is a us. Another relationship. Gang, where you are never the same is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he patterned marriage. We talked about this last week. He patterned marriage after the picture of husband and wife. Let me just read this to you. Turn to Luke 9 if you can. We're going to get through this in just a minute. Because I want you to see this. This is something that I have been reading over and over. And it is something that is just, it's powerful. Let me ask you a question. Do you have Christ in your life this morning? Do you understand what it is when the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Do you understand what it is when God did create, he created Adam and Eve, which was the first marriage. He created it in the garden. It was absolute, total perfection. And then Satan came, sin showed up, they rebelled against God, rejected what God had said, and then from that point on, sin entered the world, and then destruction of the world began. And yet God saw this, understood this, knew this from before time began, had the solution in all of this, and it was Jesus. There would be a day, the perfect timing, and that time came about 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ left heaven, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life for 30 plus years, put himself purposefully on a cross to pay the price of sin, that you and I would come to a place to recognize when I come to understand Jesus. And in this relationship, everything changes. I will never be the same again. Now look at this. Luke 9 says this. Luke 9 verse 18. It happened while he was praying alone. The disciples were with him and he questioned them saying, who do people say that I am? And imagine this. He's with his disciples and he's asking the 12. He's saying, hey, when you're out there, you've walked with me, you've talked with me, you've seen the miracles, you've seen me raise the dead, you've seen my authority over the wind, the storm, and the rain, you've seen my authority over the dead, you've seen my authority over the enemy, over the demon possession, you've seen me heal the sick, you've seen arms grow back, you've seen eyes grow back, you've seen the cripple and the lame walk. When you're out there, who do people say that I am? The disciples huddle up a little bit and they're just like, man, what have you heard? Well, I've heard this and I've heard that and, man, I've heard this. And they turn back to Jesus. Well, some say that you're Elijah. Or some say that you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he's my cousin. I can't be John. What else do they say? Well, then another disciple pipes up. Some say that you're Elijah. Elijah, I can't be Elijah. Come on, guys, what are these? Well, some have said you're just one of those prophets from old. I can see Jesus going, come on, guys. And he asks them this incredible question. And then he turns to them with this unavoidable question that every single person who's ever walked the earth will have to answer. And he turns to his 12. He says, who do you say that I am? A question that you answer and you're never the same. And Peter pipes up and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I understand who you are. You are the Messiah. You're the one who has come to be the Savior of the world. That is who you are. And I could imagine this with the 12 men. The disciples come to a place to recognize He is the Christ. And I can imagine that eye contact when Jesus turns to His disciples and says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you know me to be? You are the Christ." If that is an answer, when you answer that, you can never be the same again. Because He goes into this amazing verse in verse 23. He says this, "And He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me." If you really say, disciples, 12, if you really say that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you really trust that that's true, then if you're going to be on my team, it's only two teams, folks. It's only two teams. Christ's team, Satan's team. And Jesus said, if you're going to be on my team, He goes into this. If you say that I'm the Christ, you will never be the same again. If you say that I'm the Christ, everything changes. Because you must first deny yourself, disown yourself. Then you must pick up your cross daily. Folks, this is routine. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. That one verse, Luke 9:23, this one verse changes everything. Because Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of me, if you're going to know what it is to call me Christ, if you're going to understand and truly come to this place that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died for me, His blood has covered my sin, I am free, I have been paid for, I am bought back, I am redeemed, I have been reconciled, that relationship has been restored. And when you understand that, when you truly get that in a biblical view, everything changes. The Bible says all things become new. Because therefore, if you are in Christ, the old is gone. All things become new. What an amazing, amazing word for you and I. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. Folks, you cannot, in the relationship with Jesus, you can't remain the same. When you understand that this is a forever decision that we've made in Jesus, and everything has changed. Jesus resides and takes residence in me by the Holy Spirit, who's now taken place within me, and in that, I am not the same. In that, the door of the world has closed. In my repentance of sin, there is a change. Man, there's a change of mind that takes place to recognize sin and do our best to overcome temptation through the power of the Spirit of God who dwells and reigns within me. And in those moments, man, in those times that we do, as followers of Christ, come to a place to sin, man, we are quick to come to a place to repent. We are quick to come to a place to know, God, forgive me. Father, forgive me for what I've done. Come to that place to quickly turn back to Him, knowing I cannot be the same. Someone who routinely, man, every day, folks, come to a place to deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. Folks, in your routine, day to day, how much Jesus is in your routine? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. How much Jesus is in your routine? Pick up your cross daily. Jesus is looking at His faithful, man. He's looking at the 12. I mean, you got to see the picture. The reality is He's looking at the ones who have been there. He's looking at the ones who up to this point have shown themselves faithful. He's looking at the ones, gang, please hear this, that immediately saw Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me, and they dropped everything. Man, you could imagine them going, but we're here, Jesus. We're already following you, Jesus. We're the ones who gave up family. We're the ones who gave up our jobs. We're the ones who saw who you really are, and we followed you. I can imagine him turning to the 12, the faithful at this point. If you're on my team, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross every day and follow me. Maybe you've been in church a long time. Maybe you made a decision for Jesus long ago, but I'm asking you this morning, where's your routine? How much Jesus is in your routine? Husband and wife, and please grab your husband's hand, grab your wife's hand, come to this place this morning. Say, 1 Peter 3:8, man, that's our world. That's our verse, man. That's who we're going to be. I want people to look at me, Renee, and to sum up. We walk in a place of harmony, walk in a place being sympathetic, walk in a place that her and I come to that place. To put the other first, to be closest, best friends, to walk in a place to truly, sincerely be tender and care for one another. And man, you guys make a decision this morning, husbands and wives, to say 1 Peter 3:8. That's one verse that will cover our home. And in this, we will protect us. My time is our time. My money is our money. My body is our body. That's true. Our home is our home, not mine, not yours. Now, when you understand that, there's power in that. And you make a commitment this morning. We will walk as one. We will function as one unit working together in all things. And we will walk in agreement and we will be unified. If there's disunity, we're going to work through it. If there are things that we disagree on, we're going to work through it until we come to a place to agree. Second is this. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you recognize? For those who truly have confessed Christ as Lord. For those who understand what it is to follow Jesus. Can I ask you, where is Jesus in your routine? Have you come to this place to realize that in that relationship, I'm never the same? Because of the cross, I can never be the same again. Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus has done for me. And you come to a place to remind you this morning of that. That you would make Jesus your routine. You make Jesus your habit every day. Man, if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, man, we're about to go into baptism. Baptism is an outward profession, man. It is a public declaration that all things become new. Death, burial, resurrection, man. I'm showing the world that I am a follower of Jesus, unashamed and bold, that Jesus Christ now lives within me. I am allowing sin to flow past me. I'm understanding what it is that Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I myself have been crucified, the sins in the flesh that have been buried, and new life is resurrected in me. All things become new. All things become new. There is such hope in that. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. But it's Christ who now lives in me. And this life I now live in faith. I live through Christ as Lord. And we understand this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Never the same. This life I now live, it's a new life. I live in Christ. And you're in this place. I'm asking you to have a very clear understanding that God loves you. God loves you with such a passion and such a desire that He pursued you. And in His pursuit, He put His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to die for you. You understand what it is to turn from your sin and repent from your sin and call out in the name of Jesus. Jesus Himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I'm the only way. Payment has already been made for you. Now you come to a place this morning. See, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. That's a decision only you can make. And that's a decision that you make by confessing your sin. And acknowledging that Jesus, you are Lord, you are supreme. Jesus, you are all authority, you are all powerful. Jesus, you are master, you are sir, and I submit myself to you. That's confessing that he is Lord. Understanding that in that, Jesus, you paid the price for my freedom. Jesus, you took the hit for me on that cross. That I will have an eternity with you because you paid the price for my sin. And in that, Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. And I acknowledge my sin. And I acknowledge that I'm distant from you. But Jesus, you died for me to bridge that gap, to bring me back to you. Incredible. Incredible. Father, we just come before you this morning. Father, that you would examine every heart that's in this place, God. God, please. God, you know the motive and you know the intent and you know the act of every heart in this place this morning. Father, please open our eyes to know that we've got to have you in our lives. There's such a need for you in our lives. That this morning, everything can change for you when you come to a place to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, will never perish, but will have eternal life. The Bible says he has the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has Christ has life. He who does not have Christ does not have life. And then you come to a place today. Say, Jesus, I need you. God, forgive me this morning. God, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I call on your name. Jesus Christ. You are Lord. You are supreme. You are master. You died for me. And in that, your blood has covered my sin. And I am forgiven. And I am forgiven. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you.